D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Heath and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Oh, yeah.
You doing what?
We've clarified that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have.
Saints.
I don't know about that.
B's and B-boys.
Wait for it. There it is. He loves the podcast. We love him too, by the way.
He really loves us.
Another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
He's come so far.
I'm Dave Romero, by the way, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be discussing everything Saints football. And
wait,
some nonsense.
It's all disgusting. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Maybe a little disgusting. Yeah, so sit back, grab a drink, relax, because we're going to do ESPN 97.7, Rustin and Monroe, BS and beer style. Yeah. Gentlemen, right. Welcome in. Man, I'm excited.
You are?
Listen.
About what?
Well, I'm just telling you. Listen, last week.
Can't be LSU.
I told you.
Can't be the Saints.
I brought down my expectations.
Oh, is that what it was?
So now you know for me, It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's when we play the Carolina Panthers.
Oh.
And I got jokes. I got tons of jokes. Yeah, okay. I'm ready.
All right. All right, Burl Ives. Go on.
But, hey, listen. Brian Cushing.
Who's he?
Over in Houston.
Oh.
Yeah, the Roid Ranger.
Roid Ranger.
So, I mean, I don't know. Listen, they showed a picture of.
And what kind of roids is that?
I'm not sure.
Front side or the back side or what? What are we talking about?
Okay, you got to explain that.
The inside? We're talking about steroids, hemorrhoids, what? Oh. What kind of roids?
You got me there. Okay, you got me there. Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't know that. Okay, I see. Internal roids and
external roids.
Well, because I didn't know if you were talking about the needle or the. But anyway, the guy. Listen, you ever watch him play? I mean, he got the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
They showed pictures
of
him.
Well, you know why.
Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm not going to say now. It's been confirmed.
Yeah, but this isn't the first time.
This isn't even the first time.
No.
Yeah. I mean, when he was in college, there's a website out there that kind of calls people out for that, and they show him, like, a picture of his freshman year, and he's, like, tall, skinny kid.
Yeah.
And his sophomore year, he's like, you know. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
He did a real Barry Bonds, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Right.
So now I just wonder. I mean, like, okay, Vaccaro, can maybe we get him on something like that? I know it's the Adderall, right?
Yeah.
And now they got him off of it. At least Cushing, I mean, go ahead and suspend him, but he was still playing good ball. We get Vaccaro off of it, he can't cover. So, I mean,
it's not the same thing.
That's because he doesn't have the mental clarity anymore.
Oh, no, I get it.
That's exactly what it is.
I get performing enhancing.
He's now cloudy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like me, maybe I need to talk to Vaccaro. I walk around in a constant state
cloud?
Of
all you gotta
cloud.
Do, all you got to do is go down to UK campus and talk to any student down there. They got you out of
Yeah, they'll
for
take,
you.
They'll take you. They'll take care of you. I'm sure it's just about any campus on America.
Yeah.
These guys.
Yeah. 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 You can go to middle school over here.
So the Saints. Oh, is that where we're going now?
Well, that's where it's going now. It's not where I'm going.
I don't want to believe that. You know, I have kids that are about that age demographic
that's
now.
You've never taught in a school before.
Yeah, and you have.
That's
you
correct.
Have? Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
They even make it legal. I'm serious. They tell this poor child needs the medication.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
everything,
yeah.
Back when I was a kid, you were just a little hyperactive.
You can diagnose anybody with ADHD these days.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would have been all drugged up when I was a kid.
I would have been. Yeah,
no,
bounced off the wall.
Absolutely.
I was figuring you was. I mean, I thought that might explain what. Anyway, all right, let's go.
All right.
Now, I'm telling you, he's in rare form tonight.
I could see he's in a good mood.
Yeah.
We might as well just go ahead and get this show started.
Go ahead.
Tonight. On BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Did I tell you guys I'm a big deal now?
You're a big deal?
Well, I went viral.
Went viral?
Okay.
Did you get some penicillin for that?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I have yet
to get it diagnosed.
I'll keep my distance. But so, you know, I'm on Twitter. You know, I'm a big Twitter guy now. That's my thing. By the way, Saints BS.
Who do you have to thank for that?
The Twitter man right to my left, Tomas the Twitter man.
Yeah.
Let him have it. I break down film.
Yeah.
I take a snapshot. I get the thing, telestrate it, and draw lines and explain it, and four pictures showing each frame. That I get like two likes. Get two likes and one retweet, right?
Yeah, you're trying too hard.
Yeah, or maybe. So then I saw something before the Patriots game that Drew Brees actually was 3-1 versus Tom Brady, and all his stats were reflected in that, where think his touchdowns were like 10-2, and Brady's was, you know. And so I just took a – I paused it, and I took a picture, and I put it on Twitter. It blew up, man. It had like 350 retweets. And so I just – listen, I want y'all to know when I make it big, and I'm not going to forget about you guys.
Thank you.
Well, you know, me
good
and –
good to have friends in high places.
Well, hey, I'm going to go all Kardashian on you guys. But listen, you know, it's
– That's all right. I'd be able to set my beer on you.
Listen, I'm the one with the jokes over here. Listen.
All right.
Cam Newton, he's coming to town. I got a bunch of stuff for him. Let's check this out.
You know, they know what's real, and I leave everything else out on the field. I prepare the right way. I have a mentality. I have a standard that I set for myself.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Cam fumbled the football late in the fourth quarter when Von Miller stripped it away from him again. But rather than trying to recover the football, Newton took a step back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
That was the play that put the final nail in the coffin. Apparently, Newton's explanation for not going after the football was his fear of getting injured.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
Leaves on the field.
Yeah.
I don't dive on one fumble because the way my leg was, it could have been contorted in a way. Okay, you say my effort. I didn't dive down. I fumbled. That's fine.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
But we didn't lose that game because of that fumble.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
You are.
Tell the truth.
I never once offended anybody.
What?
Tell the truth.
And I'm a loser.
Tell the truth.
There you go.
Set you free.
Set him free, baby. Set him free.
He never offended anybody. He didn't look in the mirror to see those outfits that he wears.
Oh man. Everyone who's a slave to fashion, similar to myself.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, well, you don't see how. Look how I even come to the show dressed up to the, what's it called, the nines,
huh?
My designer t-shirt and flip-flops. That's how I roll, baby. It
must be nice.
So I tell you what, a little bit later, we're going to have some discussion. Not only, obviously, we have our good, bad, and the ugly, but we also need to talk about Coach Payton a little bit and his desire to follow in the footsteps of Bill Belichick. And how that's working out for him. That's something I want to talk about. A little later, if you haven't heard of Tomas rant, you're going to hear one of those a little later. Right, Tomas?
It's inevitable.
it's a mathematical inevitability. So, all kinds of stuff. We're going to recap this game. It's disappointing. I think one of the things I heard today kind of put things in perspective, Heath. They said if you take all of our top cornerbacks that played, uh-huh, Harris, Lattimore, PJ, Tom Brady has more Super Bowl starts than all those guys combined. So that says a little something, right? That says a little something.
Yeah.
Also, we have a graffiti hotline call. If you haven't participated in the
What's that number, Dave?
It's 701-901-1295. What you do, you call that number, you leave a message, keep it under a minute.
Short and sweet.
And you just, you know, tell us your feelings, tell us your thoughts, ask a question, whatever you want. We'll put it on the show and we'll talk about it. So keep it clean. Tomas, why don't you share with the kind folks your Twitter handle? And Heath even got his Twitter handle cleaned up.
What is it?
I don't know.
It's Got Nothing BS with no G. Nothing.
Then we'll figure out why. Tomas, what's yours?
Mine is BS and Beer Huda.
Or you can email us, bsandbeer@icloud.com. That's how you contact us. Hey, we're going to take our first break real quick. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.7, the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Get that harmony going. Everybody hit the highs. You ready? All right. Welcome back. ESPN 97.7. It's the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sing, okay.
No, we were. We're going to hit that falsetto. All three of us just hit the party.
I hit it so high you couldn't hear it. Only the dogs could hear it.
You know, I like that. I like that. And you have that skill. Tomas, a piano player. Actually, I'm a musician too, if that's what you want to call it. Not to be confused with a magician.
Or pianist.
A pianist,
now
a piano player.
How you say it now because, you know,
could come out the wrong way. We have about, I think, 79 people in our Pick'em League.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, no, we have a lot. Of,
now we'll see how long they stay with it.
That's the thing is right now, wait, did you hear that? That's people falling off the bandwagon as we speak.
Yeah.
Saints fans all over the place. We find out who the true Saints fans
that's
are.
That's correct.
That's the people who are staying up after Coach O's show.
That's right.
To listen to the BS and Beer Podcast crew and find out what we're really putting down.
That's right.
All right.
Or so, maybe they don't listen to Coach O anymore at this point. And
well, you know, wait, you hear that? That's the people jumping off the LSU bandwagon, too.
There you go.
So, all right, let's go over this real quick before we get into the good and the bad and the ugly. The Pick'em League at 11 correct out of 16. Yeah,
dang.
Little Dice, you picked on him. I'm pretty sure it was you that pointed out he was like in 30-something place.
Step it up, brother.
He did. He's coming strong. The Year of the Lion, here we go.
Oh, my God.
Gary, the only Lions fan who's participating, but he's our friend, and he listens to the show
that's
religiously.
Right. And I picked the Lions because of my friend, Gary.
And
there you go.
It's paid off because I picked them, too.
There
like it's kind of like the Saints. You give them the benefit of the doubt if it's close. Like the last 2 weeks, it was close, so I gave them the benefit of the not really that close.
Nice try.
All right, so then we have All About Saints 9 with 11. Then we have, let's see, Joe Groove, another 7 and – oh, what a name. Another 7-9, and D-Bridge with 10. And then we have a whole bunch of folks there with 9. Where you at, Tomas? Had a good week.
Nine.
Yeah. You one of those guys with 9?
That's correct, sir.
I have to at least point that out because he's over here. He almost threw his shoulder out, patting himself on the back.
Woo-hoo!
Heath, what'd you end up with?
I had 16.
Dang!
I did.
You're the man.
Oh, no, wait. That's a speck on my screen. Hold on. That's six.
Six.
I'm sorry. It's six.
I thought I did good.
I have that same problem sometimes.
Now I'm depressed.
Not only, speck on your screen?
And then last night, I lost my fantasy by 1 point. 1 point. Now, there was a point, and I had both Stafford and Abdullah. So I'm 1 point down, right? Abdullah in the fourth quarter breaks off this run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I thought he was gone. I'm like, that's it, baby, right there, that's it. And he starts dancing about 30 yards. He's like, I'm not going to get this extra 4 yards to get me to 10. Yeah, I'm just a little to the left, and I'm shaking to the right.
Yeah.
And never got.
And then he got up and limped off and never came back.
Yeah, never
on the field.
Came back. And then, of course, Stafford, all I needed, because they're like, you know, they have the increment. So
he was
at like 23 yards. If he just throws anything, a shovel pass, something, just give me 3 yards, baby. None of that. So
you didn't make it.
I didn't make it.
Such is the life in fantasy football.
Exactly. Ready for some good, bad, ugly?
Give it to
us. Are we going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
All right, let's just do it.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
Speaking of ugly, Heath.
Oh, man, come on now.
Okay. We had some, okay, who wants to start it off? I guess I'm the host. Heath, give me your good.
Good. Oh.
And we didn't say good for nothing. We said good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a struggle this week. Yeah. I can tell it.
The long snap will look pretty crisp again.
Snap, and you're not talking about the lawnmower, are you?
No.
Stole my line.
Or the fish.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and put out the word of the week for the pick'em contest right now. What is it?
The word of the week is tuna snapper.
Yeah, we're not three juvenile delinquents or anything.
No. This is when you get two guys over the age of 40-something and a youngster like me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Tomas.
Being just over 40-something, I'm good.
Yeah,
well, I think that's a compliment.
And well, you should, sir.
Thank you.
Give me a good, Tomas.
All right, my good, seriously, my good is Lattimore.
Lattimore?
That's my good, because again, when I rewatched the game, here's what I saw. Cooks couldn't beat him. Every time they were playing man-on-man, he lined up. He didn't have any. If you watched him, any guy he lined up against in man-to-man, any little bacon shake and bake right at the beginning of the line of scrimmage, he just stood there. It's like, yeah, go ahead, dance on the spot if you want, whatever. And then as soon as he broke, then he's on top of him. So to me, without a shadow of a doubt, this young man is going to be an outstanding cornerback because he's just a rookie and just has a couple of games under his belt now. And from what I've seen, man-to-man, he's there, not a prop. The zone still has a little bit to develop in understanding exactly what quadrant he's in, what he's supposed to cover with that. But to me, he was the highlight to me of the team.
You know, I agree with you. He looks strong. He looks fluid. And a little bit later, I want to dig in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the guy he was covering primarily, who he shut down pretty well,
Brandon
Cooks, yeah, was a Saint last year.
Correct.
So what does this say about Brandon Cooks? So something we're gonna dig into a little bit later. You know, okay, so I have basically the same cast of characters. Cam Jordan, he's a beast and at times unblockable. And I don't know if I don't even feel bad for him a little bit when you start getting to the point where he competes so hard every week, but he's surrounded by such, whether it's incompetence or inexperience, it performs the same way.
No.
You know, the inexperience and incompetence, almost the same. So you want to see this guy surrounded by other people so that he can pound his chest and show how well he can play and demonstrate his skills to the NFL, like I see some of these other teams where these guys are jumping around. And, you know, I'd like to see him be able to do that. And unfortunately, he didn't. Now, some other guys, now I feel like I'm redefining good just to be able to put somebody else in it. Same cast of characters we discussed, Drew Brees. Although I felt like he was under some pressure, I felt like he struggled. There were some accuracy issues.
So now we're to the bad?
I'm just saying that I'm trying to find the cast of characters who are usually in the good.
They aren't down.
And they're just really like, okay, are we
but
really?
We'll go into that afterwards when you want to spread.
And
spread
I feel
the,
you, but
the...
what I'm saying is, do you think that a guy like Fleener, was he good? I don't think he did anything outstanding, but he didn't do anything bad. You know, Ingram, I want to say maybe he was good just because he didn't really do anything bad. The offensive line.
He racked up yards at the very end.
Yeah, so my point is I'm trying to find some other goods to lump in, so I'm not trying to get in the bad. It's just I'm having to lower the bar for the good in order to add some guys in.
I did, but okay.
Okay.
The Saints-ations look really good.
The Saints-ations should get some honorable mention at least a little bit, no?
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, then. What are we going to do since we have no more good to discuss, and I don't think that these guys aren't going anywhere positive, what we're going to do is just go ahead and move on to the bad. And maybe this is where we can do bad and ugly. So, Tomas.
Oh, me first?
You have something?
Well, I have a bad and an ugly.
Okay. Well, let's hear
on the same
now.
Side of the ball.
Yeah, don't Bogart now. Come on.
You got to save some for us.
All right.
Go ahead.
The bad? Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Every time we look, we see that Cam Jordan is a half step away from a sack. He's a half step away from a great play. Half step. Okay. When you look at the defensive scheme, again, I watched the game again. How many plays did Kikaha play?
Nine.
Every time Kikaha was in the game, there was pressure coming from that other side. Every time he was in the game, there's pressure coming from the opposite side from Cam Jordan. But he played nine snaps. Why? Explain to me when you know the kid is working and he's putting pressure and he's beating his guy or at least pushing his guy back far enough that it's disrupting the play. Why do you not have him playing? Explain to me what the common sense is. Okay, let's move on with the defensive scheme for Mr. Dennis Allen. Last year we played three safety set. It worked pretty good with the people we had. Now think about it. With the people we had... Bird, you know, it was working. Now imagine we've stepped up the quality of the play. Because Marcus Williams, obviously, is a step up. So why aren't we playing three safety? Because you know Vaccaro's in the wrong place. Vaccaro is not a free safety.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So if you expect him to be in Tampa 2, Tampa 3, covering a quadrant, he can't play. That's not his skill set. So why do you have him in there? Put Bush in there. Bush would be better at that kind of a game, but we don't see what. So to me, that's why I say the band. I'm going to drop it there at Dennis Allen. If you want more, I'll tell you more later.
Heath, you shaking your head. Is that in agreement?
Yeah, I agree with everything he said. For me this week, the bad, I think really for the first time this year, even including preseason, all I'm going to have to say, the linebackers were bad this week.
Yeah, I think they were exposed. They couldn't handle White.
Anzalone didn't have a very good game. Really, none of them did. Klein didn't, you know.
So. White, the running back for New England.
And Burkhead until he got injured.
Most all of them, it's kind of frustrating because you feel like you take a step forward and then something like this happens, you take a step back. New England's beat up. They're injured. At one point.
Now don't take my ugly from me, but go on.
They only had two receivers available.
Yeah.
So what do they do? They just start throwing the ball to the running back.
Ugly. Okay, go ahead.
Well, then I'll move
that's
on past
right,
that.
Right.
Vaccaro is a subject unto himself. Mm-hmm. The thing about Vaccaro is that he isn't a true safety. He's a weird hybrid linebacker/slot corner. And maybe I might be exaggerating a little bit to make a point. So he's a strong safety. Last year we played the three safety set, and that's what he played.
Right.
He played the hybrid linebacker.
He was.
Now I believe the Saints feel they have better linebackers. So now Vaccaro gets pushed out of that role, and because Vaccaro, at least going into the season, was a guy that they felt was a defensive leader, a guy that they can build a defense around, and whether they thought that, hoped that, or whatever, they decide to put him in other positions. Now they're putting him in position to fail.
Right.
But I don't think he's as good a linebacker as potentially the kid from Florida.
Anzalone.
And he's definitely not a free safety. So he no longer really has a spot on the team. So now where I disregarded the comments about him being on the trading block as just speculation, I think there's some validity to it. And not even about his poor play. I think the trade, because the guy didn't play well. Who wants to trade for a guy that doesn't play well? I think they realize he doesn't have a spot. I think that Bell can do everything Vaccaro can do. Obviously, Williams is the future. And now they have some linebackers, specifically Anzalone, who can play linebacker. So where does Vaccaro play? So what they do is they put him in a more traditional safety set. They put him in the back, and he's failed miserably, specifically in zone defense.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I think his position next year is not on his team.
No, absolutely. They will not re-sign him.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
Did I mention to you guys that I'm going viral?
You did.
Yeah, well, that's the breaking news.
Oh.
No, well, here's the problem.
No,
we didn't,
it's not.
We didn't even use the breaking news last week. And here's the thing. If you listen to the show, rarely, if ever, does anything serious come after breaking news. But actually, we have
breaking
news.
Yeah.
Stephon Anthony.
Gone.
Yesterday. Traded. Gone. There's another...
fifth-round draft choice.
First-round draft pick.
Yeah.
That is a complete failure.
Yeah.
So, Heath?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we turned a first-round draft pick into a fifth-round draft pick.
We do that a bit.
And quite frankly, I'm a little bit surprised that they got a fifth. I mean, when I first heard it and it said undisclosed or whatever, I'm thinking this is obviously a seventh and it might be conditional at that, right? I might have to give it back.
Conditional eighth-round pick.
Yeah, you know.
Which there is none, by the way.
Right. But, you know, God, man, I mean, you know. I don't know what to say anymore about that. I mean, you know, it's like the guy, light just couldn't come on for him. Again, I was hopeful after they got Nolan this year, and it seemed like Nolan really thought a lot of him. And then he got injured, and so I've been thinking, well, you know, obviously they think enough of him. Nolan thinks enough of him. Let him get healthy again and see what he's got.
I think they wanted to trade him way before, but then he got injured, and then they couldn't because
I guess
he had
to talk him up.
They had to wait, and they had to wait until he was
healthy.
He could pass a physical.
Right.
Yeah.
To go somewhere. And I really, when they said a condition, you know, when it was, you know, undisclosed, you know, I thought it was going to be, I actually thought it was going to be a six, flat out. But if there was a condition to it, it's going to be six if he makes the team, five if he plays significant amount, four if he starts. So,
well, the issue that I want to discuss in the next segment,
yes,
we're going to talk about Peyton and how he wants the Saints to be basically a clone of New England. Now, every team wants their team to be a clone of New England, but somehow or another, it's not working the way I think that Sean Payton would want it to work. So we'll talk about that coming up in the next segment here, and we're going to have a little bit more good, bad, and ugly. And we also have the pick'em. We're doing the pick'em later on.
Right. That's Don't right. forget tuna snapper now.
Tuna snapper. That's the word of the week.
It's imperfect because Belichick and Peyton both are disciples of tuna.
The big
that's
tuna.
Right.
Oh, I see what you
that's
did
right.
there.
You
want
to listen,
guy.
And that's where that really came from.
That's where right. it came from. Hey, it's ESPN 97.7. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We'll be Hello, back.
Lord. I just want.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.7, the BS and Beer Podcast. Dave, Heath, Tomas, we're here, we're talking Saints. Look, we have the pick'em later on the show. We have actually our NFC South report. With Brian Bienemy of ESPN 100.3 over in New Orleans. Does a great job. Love his insight. And don't forget, we also do our Saints Report Thread of the Week. Talk a little bit about things going on, conversations there. It's a great site if you just like talking Saints. If you're not really a Twitter guy, you know, I'm a Twitter guy now. That's my thing. But before that, I was a message board guy. Now I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You like a well-moderated message board, go over to thesaintsreport.com. Excellent place to talk Saints. Now, I mentioned earlier about Sean Payton and his desire to be like Bill Belichick, like the New England Patriots. Again, most every team does. So it's not just the Saints. Everybody is copying something, studying that film, studying that tape, trying to figure out how to be the next New England. We thought a long time ago, the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that a dynasty it was done. There would never be another dynasty in this age of football. New England's managed to do it. Having said
and
that,
do everybody else.
You know, and so now Coach Peyton tries to operate like New England. What I've noticed is New England, Coach Belichick, manages to find players from other teams that can't seem to get it right. And he finds a way to make those guys productive players. And if it doesn't work out, then he gives them the boot. Now, you look at the way things are going in New Orleans, and I feel like Sean Payton, when he can't get a guy on the same page, he just finds a way to discard him. And I feel like maybe that's why we're starting to see all the problems. There has to be something going on. It's not just football. It has to be something in the locker room. We had the bro situation where – you know, sometimes you watch a guy do something, the way he works when he talks to a guy in a certain way and he manages to get what he wants out of the player. Sometimes the guy, somebody else tries the same conversation, it comes out completely wrong. Is that potentially what could be going on with Sean Payton? I mean, you have all these guys. You know, he gets rid of Cooks. He gets rid of Jimmy Graham. He gets rid of name the players through the last 6-7 years that Sean Payton's just, hey, I can't get along with you. You're not on the same page with me, you're out of here.
Yeah. Well, and a great example of the difference between Sean Payton and Bill Belichick was on display yesterday. New England came into the game with three available receivers. So what did he do? He went back to the kind of offense, as Romo kept pointing out, that they ran 15 years ago. He came out with fullback. You know, completely changed the offense. Sean Payton has never been able – he's never adapted his offense that widely to suit different players. You either going to fit into what he's trying to do, or you're out of here, which is basically what you were just saying. I mean, that's a huge difference between what Bill Belichick does and what Sean Payton does. I'd also like to say that the biggest problem, or really what every other team is doing wrong, is that they're trying to be the New England Patriots. That's the mistake.
Instead of just being herself? What do you mean by that?
Any dynasty team. Go back to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Steelers had a dynasty. Dallas Cowboys had a dynasty. Was nothing like Pittsburgh's team. San Francisco had a dynasty. It was nothing like Dallas and Pittsburgh before. The point is, I think the very thing that they're doing wrong is that they're trying to beat the New England Patriots instead of trying to create their own dynasty, their own way.
Well, interesting. Tomas, I mentioned earlier, I'm trying to figure out why Sean Payton seems to be he's trying to behave like Bill Belichick, meaning I'm in control, it's my way or the highway, and what it's leaving us with is a depleted pool of talent.
Right, well, now, my perspective is this. Number one, the New England Patriots have a wonderful team that assesses the draft players. They make tremendous use of the middle round. The players they obtain in the middle rounds seem to always stick with that team. That's number one, which is different than just about every other team. Number two, and I think that this really hits the nail on the head as far as the Saints is concerned. The Saints so often will go out and draft the player that they everybody rants and raves about. Oh, this guy's got the greatest skill set. Oh, potentially, right? The Patriots draft people of character. They have to fit the New England belief system. They don't have to be the fastest. They don't have to be the highest jumpers. But they have to buy in completely to what makes a Patriot. And I think that's the real difference. Because if you say, well, look, the Saints, he can't get it, they ship him off. It's a character issue. And if you look at the Saints organization, after 2000, the Super Bowl winning team had men on that team of character. You might not have liked Shanley, may not have been the greatest linebacker, but he's always in the right place where he had to be. But more importantly, he was a presence in the locker room. Fujita, Tracy Porter. I mean, you go down the list of those players on defense in the 2009 championship team, and they're all men of character.
So what you're saying is that while I'm asking the question that Belichick seems to do it one way and it works, when Peyton does it the same way it seems to not work, it's because
it's
he's starting with the wrong players.
Because he's not doing it the same way. Again, you know, I don't know how I can say this to you. Drew Brees is a leader on that team. He's a man of character. You're not going to hear about him doing PED, you're not going to hear about him chasing after some hoochie mama. You know, you're not going to hear any of these things from Drew Brees. You're not going to hear from Cam Jordan either. You see, you have people of character on the team. Now, I can't put it to you any other way. We get players in there that might have some talent, but they don't buy into what it is to be a Saint.
Okay? So is the message getting lost, Heath? Is it
I'm not sure if there is a message.
Did he forget how to coach? Because, listen, we are talking about a Super Bowl-winning coach who started with nothing. It's not like one of those things where the team was built and he just came in and took over and won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So did he forget how to coach, or is the message lost?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the message is lost.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I think a lot of it is about ego as well.
Yes.
You know, but I think the system is flawed. In other words, you know, the Saints don't have anything equivalent to knowing what it means to be a Patriot. I don't think the Saints as an organization has an identity like that. That when you come in, you know, this is how we do, and we need, you know, you could try to emulate New England all you want, but you can't cherry pick which parts of New England you want to emulate and do other things differently.
Yeah, well said.
Okay?
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line, and the Saints do not do. In fact, they don't even really come. I don't think they do hardly anything like the Patriots actually do.
Okay, so so Tomas, is he being fair? At one point, did we have a identity? Did we lose the identity? Because, listen, this was a successful football team and organization for quite a while.
I'm going to go back and say follow up with what Heath said. When you look at the Pittsburgh dynasty, it was because you had a core of players that said, this is what it is to be a Steeler. And so everybody they brought in was like, if you want to come to this team, you got to be a Steeler. Same thing happened with Dallas. Dallas had the dynasty, same thing. When you had Walsh coaching San Francisco, same thing. Okay. So here comes the Saints. Peyton, new position, first time. He had a message. If you recall, the first training camps that were the Saints training camps were Bears. Remember? They were in Mississippi. Okay? Those guys sweat, passed out, whatever it was. But he created a tough team, which is why we won the Super Bowl. Now, does he have a tough team? No, he's lost all that because he himself has lost his identity. You know? So to me, I follow what Heath said. You know, the Patriots are a championship team because they are Patriots. The Saints will never be a championship team if they're, a kind of sorta Patriot.
Right.
Yeah, let me point out one other thing, too. The Patriots have excellent ownership.
That's true.
Okay, and I don't think that can be discounted yet because the Kraft family brings something to that organization that you're not getting from Benson, you know, in the ownership group with the Saints. Yeah. And so, I don't think you can overlook that. It's not just the coach. It's not just the players and all.
So can we say or maybe extrapolate that Benson's declining health has started the deterioration of the leadership from the top down? Because, listen, Peyton, if he doesn't have anyone to answer to, and I think we've all come to the conclusion over the years that Mickey Loomis is not really a boss.
No.
He's an administrator.
Right. Yep.
So without having someone like Benson to answer to, now all of a sudden it's a rudderless ship. I mean, listen, I have 100 different things I could speculate.
You know, yeah, and I don't even think it's just the aspect of answering to. He doesn't have Benson to collaborate with. Bill Belichick and Kraft and all of them, I think, work together in a way that probably not a lot of franchises do, but certainly not the Saints.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, as you pointed out, Mickey Loomis, you know, came aboard because he's a bean counter. He can figure out how to get around the cap and all that other kind of stuff. But it's that coalition that you need to form. Benson is just not actively involved. I think Ireland was brought in. He has some more input in there, and I think you're going to see a little bit of a change there, but it's still not the same thing as what Heath is saying. You don't have from the top down the top six guys in this team, as a team, working together.
You know, maybe in later in the second hour, we could talk a little bit about exactly what Mickey Loomis and the success that he's had and the issues that he's had. I think that we can find some problems in the whole structure of the offense.
We'll catch it in the next
time. Hey, don't forget, we got the Tomas rant coming up in the next segment, in the next hour. We got the Saints report stuff. We got the NFL South report, the pick'ems, all kinds of stuff in our bonus second hour coverage. It's the BS and beer. Listen, do I need to pronounce it better?
Yes.
Yes? I'm a coon ass, man. What can I say? Listen, ESPN 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast crew, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Jack and Diane painting a picture of my life and my dreams.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
That's right. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero, 97.7 ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Listen, it's the one you wait for. It's the Tomas rant. But before we do that, listen, guys, I think last year, if y'all remember, we bought a product. We thought we had a good investment, filled the warehouses up. And we thought there was something to it. We thought, you know, this week we're playing Cam Newton, and we have to deal with all the nonsense and the dress and the flossing his teeth on the sidelines. I mean, I don't know. But we filled the warehouse up. We don't have a name sponsor yet.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're going to use this opportunity now that we're on the radio here in Ruston.
Now from the makers of CamaFed comes CamaFloss. CamaFloss.
Are you like me and enjoy fresh breath, clean teeth, and looking like a complete moron?
CamaFloss.
Do you find yourself saying, I'd like to floss at a more inappropriate time, but how can I look more stupid?
CamaFloss.
With CamaFloss 14-gauge wire, you get to the hard-to-reach places of your goat or donkey teeth.
CamaFloss.
So the next time you're sitting in a board meeting, the sidelines of an NFL game, or maybe the keynote speaker of a Pee Wee Herman dress-alike convention, you can reach for camouflage. And even though you might look like a jackass, you don't have to feel like one.
There you go. Listen, the lines are open. The warehouse is full. The yep. distribution center is ready.
We're ready.
Call 701-901-1295 and get your order in today for some camouflage.
But wait.
But
there's more.
Well, while we're at it, maybe they need to know more.
Yeah.
Do you wake up sleepy? Do you lack confidence and self-esteem? Do you often see the world as it is and not how you wish it would be? Well, now there's CamaFed, a new all-natural male enhancement product.
That's right.
Why spend time, effort, and hundreds of dollars on products that just don't work?
They don't work.
Now,
man.
Instead of being better at something, all you have to do is take CamaFed, and you'll just believe you are.
Who are you to say that your way is right?
Now you no longer have to worry about being a better athlete. You just believe you are.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
Oh. You'll become the team leader you always wanted to be. Not because you work harder or sacrifice more, just because you believe you are. Ask your doctor if all new CamaFed is right for you. Side effects may include, but not limited to, delusion, choking, inability to fall on balls late in the fourth quarter, an overinflated idea of your own self-worth, loss of respect from your teammates and fans. Because when that big moment in life occurs and you fail miserably, you can still believe you're successful with CamaFed.
That's right. Get your CamaFed today. The warehouses are full. They didn't sell quite as well as we thought.
That's
when
right.
We sent that order over to China. And then I guess that's when, what's his name? Trump, they put some embargo or something on them.
Maybe it was the lead in it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been. We can't get our stuff. Now it's too expensive. I don't know. Whatever the deal is, we can't get it. So order today. You won't be disappointed. Well, maybe they're going to be very disappointed. But speaking of disappointed.
Oh, my God. It's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
Facts don't mean anything to me. My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's gonna blow up, it's gonna blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
It certainly is.
It's a mathematical certainty.
That's right. Now I'm ready with my mathematical certainty. It's a mathematical certainty that, picking up on what my good friend Heath had to say, it's a mathematical certainty that Sean Payton has lost his sense of direction when it comes to having one of the top NFL offenses. Let me explain myself, if I may. Here's what my good friend Heath said. Well, we have New England. They only dress out three receivers. Not three top receivers. No, just three frickin' receivers. They lose one during the game. They down to two dressed receivers. But in 10 days, Belichick and his staff sit down and go, how the hell are we going to do this? Well, I know. We'll take a page from 20 years ago. Here's how we're going to do it. Okay. Now we'll look at the Saints. Well, we don't have Cooks. All right. But no problem. We have Ginn and we have Tommy Lee. Okay. Do you know how to use them? Well, we'll just use them like we use Cooks. No. They're not the same players. These two guys can actually run different route trees. You know, so they have different routes that they can. No, we're just going to just send them long. No, it's the wrong way to do it. All right, let's go a step further. We lose Snead. Okay, now we need somebody who's going to play what position? Do we need somebody to play wide out? I don't think that's Snead's position. Was that Snead's position? No, I don't think so. Oh, but we're going to play it that way. What? Yeah, so we're going to have Goofy Boy, 16-1 a day. You know, we're going to stick him to play in the same position as Snead. Really? Gee, they're only a foot in height difference. And, you know, one catches the ball and the other one doesn't. Oh, great, fantastic. No problem. You know what? That's why we got Peterson. Oh, yeah, he fits perfect into this freaking offense. High-powered, bring in Peterson. What? He can't make the corner? Well, what the hell? He can make the corner, can't he? No, he can't. Oh, but he's a future Hall of Famer. Well, that's great. You know, my grandma might be a future Hall of Famer, but she can't run anymore. What the hell?
it's time to end that experiment a long time ago. Let me tell you what. Mark Ingram, God bless him. You know, I wasn't a Mark Ingram fan, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to become a Mark Ingram fan. Because here he goes at the end of the game, they're worthless yards. But you see how he played? He hustled. He hit whatever hole was there, and he kept pushing. He pushed the pile back. He didn't fall down. That man needs to be in the game. Oh, we have a fullback. We have a guy who played for Green Bay, who's actually pretty good. Goon! Right? All right, how do we use him? As I recall, when we had a different fullback, we tore Dallas apart. Might you remember this?
I do.
With this little fullback dump, fullback sweep. Fullback. Where the hell was that?
Corny.
Nowhere to be found. So what about this offense? Can you tell me? Here's poor Drew Brees. He drops back. He goes, hey, there's nobody open. What should I do? What? And there you go. Sack-a-Rooney. Now, remember, if you have someone to dump the ball to, we're in good shape. But you have nobody. Why not? Well, we got to keep everybody in the block because we don't have an offensive line. Oh, well, that's great. Well, I guess it could have been worse. He could have been Ezekiel for Dallas and giving up on every play that doesn't come to him.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
A big crybaby. But again, I go back and say the same thing. We need to have an innovative offense. That is your claim to fame, Sean Payton. Well, get off your duff and come up with something exciting with what we do have. All right. I said my rant, I guess.
Well, you know, here's the problem is I agree with a lot of that you said. There's so many.
Wait a second. A lot doesn't mean everything.
No.
What's your
problem?
There's
some things I don't necessarily.
I'll slap you right now.
Like to point out that the comments made by the person before me does not necessarily reflect the comments or the thoughts of the BS and Beer podcast.
But should.
it's just so many holes. Like, okay, I mentioned earlier Drew Brees, you know, not playing as well as I expect. But then offensive line's not playing as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you say, well, the pass rush. Well, was it the pass rush or was it that we couldn't cover long enough? There's just so many problems. It's hard. Everyone wants the easy solution. Everyone wants to just say it's all Harris's fault. And it's always the guy who had the least amount invested. Let's get rid of that guy because
yeah.
You don't want it to be the guy that you just spent a top draft pick or a lot of money on.
Yeah.
But the point is it's never that simple. And you hit on a lot of it. Mark Ingram ran hard. Yeah, a lot of it's garbage. So how are we really supposed to know? But you know,
but this is the point I made, because it's at the end of the game, and you know it's garbage. Ingram could have
still
easily said,
hard.
You know what? I'm going to run out of bounds here so nobody hits
And you
me.
Did. You made the Ezekiel Elliott reference.
Yeah.
Where
you know, instead he knows, hey, you know, the game's lost anyway. There's no way we're going to win this game. But if you give me the ball, I'm going to hit it.
All right. ESPN 97.7, the BS and Beer podcast.
How dare you cut me off?
Hey, second hour coming up. We got plenty more for Tomas to rant on.
I'm going to have the second rant.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.